The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
More with Bill Myers.
What a delight to have you here Friday, May 24th, as we are getting set to kick off the long Memorial Day weekend. Mike Gallagher on Salem Radio is going to fill in for me for Monday, or probably whoever's filling in for Mike Gallagher that morning. You know how that normally works. The B or C team on holidays, you know, that sort of thing. But I'll be back on Tuesday, and one way or the other, I hope you enjoy this and get what you need done. I'm going to be doing some work around the house, and I know Boatnik, of course, they kicked off yesterday in Grants Pass. That's going to be the big one over in Riverside Park, the big activity all weekend long, fireworks, I think, tonight and Sunday night after that is all done, and the big race on Memorial Day Monday. And I'm certainly hoping to, I think Linda and I are going to, I'm going to drag Linda. No, I'm not going to drag her, just going to head out to the Eagle Point National Cemetery Memorial Day festivities. It's not a festivity, it's a ceremony, is what I was trying to say. And by the way, that's going to be Monday from 10 to 11 is when that's going to be going on, if you wanted to go there. It's quite an event. Get there early, though, because it is usually very, very well attended. And Linda's parents are buried there, so that's another great reason to go there. All right. Happy to take your calls here, by the way, first 20 minutes of the show or so. I'm going to be noodling around. I did promise I wanted to get into some of the stories, some of the news that got lost in the shuffle. But you can also check in here, 770-563-3770-KMED. National story that caught my eye here, Supreme Court ended up coming out with a 6-3 decision yesterday, and it is siding with the government in a three strikes and you're done gun law ruling. And this has to do with about how sentences under federal three strikes gun law should be imposed on defendants previously convicted of violent felonies or major drug offenses. I'm getting this out of the Epic Times this morning. Justice Sam Alito wrote the majority opinion. The case, by the way, is Brown v. United States, which was then tied together with Jackson v. United States. And it did not break down along the traditional conservative versus liberal lines there. One liberal justice ended up joining the majority here, and one conservative justice sided with the dissent. And the basic take on it, though, is that Fed law prohibits convicted felons from possessing firearms, and it's this Armed Career Criminal Act enacted in 1984 in response to concerns that a small number of repeat offenders, you know, the frequent flyers that the cops always talk about, we're committing a disproportionate number of the crimes, and that does. The law requires, though, that a 15-year minimum sentence be imposed on people found guilty of illegally possessing a firearm who have three or more serious crime convictions, and including drug convictions, too. And we're still trying to figure out what this will actually do as far as the effects of the ruling, because the challenge here, and the reason some of the challenges were done, is because you had some people who were getting popped for this three serious crimes and you're out for the gun law, you know, type thing. They'd tack on an extra 15 years. And then what would happen is that the drug laws ended up being changed in the meantime. You know, someone would get popped, as an example, for, well, growing hemp, you know, hemp, which was still on the federal schedule there for quite some time. Yeah, I know you may laugh about that now, but it was true. It happened, right? And so people would get popped, and they would, hey, you're growing drugs there. It's hemp. No, it's drugs, and, you know, according to the feds, and that would be tacked on. And then they decriminalized it and took it off the schedule. And so they're saying, hey, you know, should I still have this, this 15 years extra tacked on to my sentence? And so chances are you're going to see this starting, some cases being revisited, but I can't really tell you what is really, you know, the full effect at this point. They'll try to figure it out. And, of course, who wins? The attorneys. All right. Another story. I'm not a big sports guy. You know me. It's like I'll watch the Super Bowl. And other than that, it's like, hey, did you hear about this? The boxing? No. What about that? Oh, Taylor Swift and Kel. I don't care. You know, it's my life is filled with plenty of other things without getting involved in sports ball. But if you're into sports ball, God love you, okay? And now sports ball is going to be paid in college. NCAA, five major conferences, $2.8 billion settlement. And this is pending Fed approval. And they'll be paying current and former college athletes for lost endorsement opportunities. And there's going to be a revenue sharing system for athletes. Plan aims to address claims going back to 2016. Boy, 8 years they're going to go back. And they're looking at individual athletes and major investments from conferences. And apparently what's going to happen is as of next year, there's going to be just official pay, you know, for the college football, for the college volleyball teams, for the college, you know, whatever. And I'm kind of wondering what you think about that, only because one of the common themes that I've always observed with big sports fans is that those that are into college football over the NFL seem to like it because of that feeling like, well, these people are just playing it for the love of it, or they're there on a scholarship, you know, that sort of thing. And will it change your view of college sports? And it's big. Believe me, college sports is big. Will it change your view of college sport to know that they're getting paid for it now? Economically, I really have no problem with what they're doing. In fact, it's just kind of being more of an honest, you know, it's more of an honest way of doing it. But I know that some of the love that people have for college sports, isn't that true, though? Some of the love that people have for college sports is that, well, it's they're amateurs and, you know, they're not getting paid. And, yeah, they're hoping to join the big leagues and join the show, but they're not now. And so they would almost look at college sports as being a little more pure. Maybe that's a way of looking at it. I don't know. But I'll be curious to see how that ends up playing out, though. I mean, is it just going to be now just the slightly minor league of the NFL, you know, college football, for example, you know, that sort of thing? I think you can look at kind of pay for all sorts of things. That I would even tie this even when you look at what we do right now when it comes to blood donation. I've said this before. You may disagree with me, and I'm happy to take a call if you do disagree with me. But it's interesting that how in college football, in college sports, everyone was getting paid except the actual people producing the product, right? You know, that sort of thing. It's kind of like the way it goes in organ donation too. You know, everybody in the entire medical system is making a very good living when it comes to transplants or blood donations and the products from blood donation and everything like that. But we're all told, you know, it's so much more pure and honest to have you donate organs and donate the blood. And we in the medical industrial complex will continue to make lots of money off of you, but, you know, just remember, you have to do it for free. You know, maybe there's just a little bit. Maybe we could start talking about the organ donation there, too. Although I know now that it is permitted that you can get some benefits for organ donation. But let's just be honest. Everyone's making money on all the rackets except the people producing the raw material, I guess. It's 19 after 6. 770-5633. We could talk about that. Hey, if you're a Van Halen fan. Van Halen fan? Yep, I'm a Van Halen fan. And this is just a little bit of news that got lost in the shuffle. Alex Van Halen's instruments, the drummer, all his gear, he's going to auction it off. 350 items, I guess this is going to be the Alex Van Halen collection, his own drum kits, high-quality drumming gear. So you could own an Alex Van Halen drumstick, I guess, that sort of thing. Awards, memorabilia. Each lot comes with a personally signed certificate of authenticity from Alex. I guess what this is saying is that don't look for any Van Halen reunion tours anytime soon of who's left, okay? I guess. I don't know. But you just look that up. It's Backstage Auctions, if you're really into that. I have to talk with Mr. Outdoors about that. No, he's into Kiss. He's into Kiss, not Van Halen, I think. But we'll have to see about that. All right. A story that got lost in the shuffle around here in Southwest Oregon, Ms. Stabenwagon, the Stabenwagon founder and director. She finally had her court case. You know, it kind of got lost in all the election drama that we had around here. Remember Melissa Jones? Yeah, she was in Medford Muni Court on Monday. 6 months probation ordered to pay $400 in fines for threatening city police officers during an HIV testing party that Stab and Wagon was hosting last summer at Vogel Plaza. Melissa Jones pleads no contest to interfering with a cop and disorderly conduct stemming from her actions August 3rd of 2023. City Attorney Eric Minton tells Rogue Valley Times Monday plea was neither an admission nor a denial of the accusations. The city feels that the two convictions plus probation and fines brings a new level of accountability that is appropriate for the conduct at issue during the incident at Vogel Plaza. Meanwhile, though, I'm sure boxes of needles are still going to the people who so desperately need their medicine, their heroin and fentanyl medicine. So, doing God's work. It's 22 after 6, KMED, KCMD. Yeah, we could talk about anything that's on your mind. News has got lost in the shuffle. Rick Manning's going to join me here in a few minutes, too, the D.C. Swamp Update. Matt is going to join me from Grants Pass, too. We're just going to talk the market. The market just went nuts yesterday, kind of dropped a little bit. And, you know, I just want to get a little bit of market talk. He's had a newsletter for lots of years, and we'd like to talk a lot of market stuff off air. I thought, I'm going to talk with him about it on the air. We'll do that at around 7:30 just for fun after the outdoor report.
Rise and shine with another ultimate breakfast experience from Artisan Bakery Cafe. You'll be wowed once again with their fresh-baked croissant sandwiches. Fresh-baked flaky croissants layered with your choice of ham and cheese, turkey pesto, bacon and egg, or sausage and egg. A breakfast sensation sure to give your day a jump start. Wait, there's more. Fresh-baked bagel sandwiches toasted with cream cheese, bacon, egg, and cheddar. Order online at DoorDash or visit 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer.
Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center, and here's the deal people keep asking about. When will we have more F-150s, the payment of only $445 a month? The answer is right now. Lease a 2024 Ford F-150 Crew Cab for only $445 a month. Work, tow, play, haul in a new Ford F-150 for only $445 a month at Butler Ford. Nobody knows how to make a lease deal work on a Ford truck like Butler Ford. That's why businesses and individuals have been coming to us for years when they want a new truck at a low payment, like $445 a month on a Ford F-150 Crew Cab. Whew, I'm running out of time in this ad, but call and ask about the low lease payments we're having on our new Ford Escapes. Remember, Butler says yes to bigger discounts and rebates. Butler says yes to giving you more for your trade. And Butler says yes to $445 a month on a Ford F-150. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, hybrid, and electric vehicle.
36 monthly lease payments at 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock fee on vehicle cap cost of $42,884. On approved finance through Ford Credit. Offer expires 6/3/24.
Saving big. I can dig on just the things I need.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley truckloads of money over the years on things you buy and use often. All Beauty Mark Salon certificates are half off. Also, save big on Diner 62, Malello's Coffee, and Freddy's Diner. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
24 after 6, Friday the 24th. Keith is in Cane Junction. Keith, you found your phone, and you were biting on the how the NCAA, basically college football, college sports, they're going to be paid. They're settling up for pass, not being paid, that sort of thing. And you're a sports guy. You really like to watch these sports. I'd like to find out more. What do you think about that deal?
I'm really kind of frustrated about young people in particular not willing to pay for their education and to be responsible if that's what they want to do, go to college. I find paying an athlete at a college level who has a scholarship a bit much. In fact, I don't get it. I find it rather, I think college has been very much watered down. I don't think it's as useful for a person's future as it used to be. I think it's nothing more than a avenue for getting the bureaucracies of college infrastructures wealthy or at least well-paid. I don't want a new doctor touching me because they stare at their iPad more than they look at my eyes. But I just find that your comment just brought me out of my going north, doing my job this morning. I'm just so set up, I'm probably not going to pay much attention to college football this year.
You know, I find that really interesting, but that's what I was wondering. And so my theory that I would talk with so many people that were so big into college sports was because there was a bit more of a purity to it. You agreed with that then, from the sounds of it.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think that we have placed notoriety and identity above, I guess, moral cores, you know, morality and your core beliefs and a work hard, not get it easy mentality. It just, I imagine a lot of people that were in need of a job. Now I'm off the weeds. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It happens, though. All right. Let me just touch back on it, though. But let me just counter that a little bit, though. Think about your tax money right now. Pays Mike Bellotti, I think, about $450,000 a year right now, just in PERS benefits from his time as a head football coach. But you know, Bellotti didn't do that alone. You know, as you well know, he had to have good players, you know, backing him up there, in order for him to get all that money for all those years and get all that money into, you know, the Oregon University system and all the rest of it. Should there not be some compensation, though, some reasonable compensation for the people who are actually doing the work, I guess?
When socialists run out of your money, what do you do? I'm sorry. We're broke. This country is broke. We are absolutely broke.
Well, college sports is not broke, I was getting at, Keith. That's kind of what I was mentioning. It's huge money.
It is. And I look at people that needed a job in the 1930s, they didn't ask for welfare. Even the CCCs, they worked. They wanted to work before you gave them money.
Mm-hmm.
I forgive.
It's okay. I understand. You always sound just a little upset about it and angry, and sometimes it's hard to form the terms, but I at least appreciate your quick take on that. And before you take off, where are you driving today? I know you're, you know, driving truck all the time.
I'm taking a load of potting soil to an indoor marijuana grow, which is probably why I'm a little bit grumpy, because I'm sick and tired of contributing.
God bless
to this industry.
God bless it. God bless America, but God bless you truck drivers, because nothing good happens until you deliver it. Okay, all right.
I hear it. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, Keith. Stay safe, and God bless you. It's 29 after 6. Let's see. Another story that got lost in the shuffle. This has received so little press, very little conversation about this. James O'Keefe actually got a CIA contractor to admit on tape about some nasty stuff here. A project manager working in cyber operations for the CIA, Amjad Sisi, I think it is, or Sisi, was caught on undercover camera implicating the highest levels of the CIA, including the executive staff working against then-President Trump. The O'Keefe Media Group, OMG, you know, James O'Keefe, works to get people connected to the deep state to admit on hidden camera the things that the government would never reveal. The latest one, Amjad reveals to OMG's American Swiper that intel agencies not only kept intelligence information from a sitting United States president and commander-in-chief, they also used that same FISA court, which, by the way, Congress reauthorized, to spy on Donald Trump. And this is what the guy was saying on an undercover camera. We're talking about the director and his subordinates, former CIA directors, Gina Haspel, and I believe Mike Pompeo did the same thing, too. Keeping information from him, Trump, because we knew he'd effing disclose it. And then Amjad reasons, there are certain people that would give him a high-level overview but never give him any details. You know why? Because he'll leak those details. He's a Russian asset. He's owned by the effing Russians. It shows you how dumb even some of the CIA contractors can be, I guess. By the way, and his team and I are still monitoring President Trump, according to Amjad, who says we monitor everything. Amjad adds that we have people that monitor his ex-wife. He likes to use burner phones. And this is information only an insider with access to highly sensitive information would state. This is, once again, James O'Keefe on the O'Keefe Media Group. But you haven't heard a lot about that, have you? Yeah. But anyway, I thought that's an interesting story that kind of got lost in the shuffle because, once again, a few unpleasant truths about, well, that racket known as the American government and its intelligence agencies. Did I say that out loud? I really need to edit my thoughts here. We are going into Memorial Day weekend. Okay, maybe we should remember the Constitution this weekend, too, for that matter. This is the Bill Myers Show.
It's amazing. What's right under your floor can impact your whole house. Musty smells, wall cracks, uneven floors, doors and windows that stick. These could all be your home sending you warning signs that there's a problem. But one simple call can be the answer to fixing everything under your home. For more than a decade, Terra Firma has been our area's number one solution for better basements, foundations, and crawl spaces. So why waste another day worrying? Make an investment in a more healthy, more valuable home. Call Terra Firma today.
The best technology should make the world more beautiful, life more rewarding, and pull people closer. And the very best tech does all this without harming the planet. TimberTech Decking, the best performing, longest lasting, and most lifelike look of real wood. Because the best deck naturally comes from the best tech. TimberTech. Go against the grain. Hughes Lumber TimberTech sale is going on now. Don't miss out.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Israel. Israeli special forces are carrying the bodies of three more hostages murdered by the terrorists who then took the bodies back to Gaza. In New York City, former President Trump has rallied voters. Turnout estimated at 25,000 in one of the country's most heavily Democratic counties. The rally held in the South Bronx yesterday. The damage assessment and the cleanup underway in tornado-ravaged Iowa. In Greenfield, more than 100 homes are destroyed. They were there 1 minute, the next minute they were gone. At least four people were killed. Governor Kim Reynolds seeking an expedited federal disaster declaration. On Wall Street this morning, stock futures higher following yesterday's big sell-off. The Dow futures up 24 points, NASDAQ futures ahead 38. More details, srnnews.com.
Oh, honey, it's our favorite leaf filter trusted pro, Matt. Matt, come in.
Hi, Mrs. Sparks. You wanted me to stop by? Is everything okay with your leaf filter gutter protection system?
Okay. Of course, silly. We wanted you to stop by for dinner as our way of thanking you.
Yes, to thank you for that free gutter inspection, the free estimate, and what was the other thing?
That lifetime guarantee.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Sparks, those are just leaf filter's policies. Everyone who calls leaf filter gets a trusted pro to come out for a free gutter inspection and estimate. And every leaf filter installation comes with a lifetime guarantee.
So it's not just us?
No, sir. We don't want anyone to worry about clogged gutters ever again.
You mean everyone gets this level of service?
Everyone. They just need to visit leaffilter.com/platinum to schedule their free inspection.
Okay, but you must be starving. You work so hard.
Ready to love your gutter protection as much as we do? Visit leaffilter.com/platinum and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
1954, 70 years ago, Dwight D. Eisenhower's president, The number five song of the day, Rosemary Clooney's Hey There. Meantime, store number five for Grover was next to open. Grover Electric and Plumbing in Nampa, Idaho, welcoming do-it-yourselfers and contractors with a promise of superior service, quality products, and everyday low prices. Grover celebrates 70 years of do-it-yourself and save. For a location near you, visit groverelectric.com.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. General Motors CEO Mary Barra said she has no plans to retire anytime soon, citing a need to ensure the company's transformation is on a good path. GM, like other automakers, is investing billions of dollars into all-electric vehicles. The Detroit automaker is also attempting to relaunch its Cruise autonomous vehicle business. Barra, who is the longest-tenured CEO outside of the company's founder, referred to this time as the most exciting for the automotive industry. The next frontier for the ad market isn't on TV. It's in stores and on your phone. Advertisers are increasingly spending more on retail media networks. This includes platforms run by companies like Amazon and Walmart, which show ads in stores, on apps, and websites. Global retail media and spending is expected to more than double in the coming years. Futures are slightly higher just before the bell. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 605. That's Your Money Now.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, because I don't want to see. Mama told me, let's go.
Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com, GetLiberty.org, by the way. And just every time we noodle around on D.C. headlines and the swampy update, the D.C. swamp update, and Rick is, you've actually been doing errands this morning around the swamp, delivering what, packages to the UPS, and what are you and your wife headed out of town on Memorial Day weekend, or what's your story?
No, huh? Actually, she has a conference next week, and we have about four boxes that we have to ship out there today, because of Memorial Day, to get them there by Thursday, you have to get them out today. So wow. So that's what we're doing, is we're trying to get all the big old boxes that have to go out to the exhibit hall. Just like a normal person, we got stuff going on, and the person who can carry big boxes gets to carry them.
And that's you, right?
Well, yes. yeah, that would be me.
Yeah. And I have
like two roles in this household, and one of them is to carry the boxes, and the other is to clean the cat boxes. So, you know, I get all the good stuff.
You know, the funny thing is that I have that same role at home, and I say, why are these things my problems? And he says, it's because you're my husband, is what Linda says.
That would be the answer.
Okay.
For better or worse. And she also says, you also have to do something around here. So anyway, that's the life is just, you know, life's real, even in the swamp.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, speaking of the swamp, and you were using UPS, I guess, and not the United States Postal Service. I was reading that both Senator Merkley and Senator Wyden are, I guess he's no longer our New York senator representing Oregon. I think he moved to Connecticut, is what I was told the other day. So But you know, those pesky residency things just don't matter anymore. You know that. It's a different time. But apparently that they are working on legislation to prop up the U.S. Postal Service. We've been having just a mess of a time with postal services. Have you heard any inkling about postal problems over in the swamp? I'm wondering how big of a deal that is, if anything at all.
I actually know a little bit about this, and that's the business my wife's in. There's a lot of different things that are happening, or a lot of different potential pieces of legislation that are happening related to postal. I'm not familiar with Merkley and Widener doing, but last year, the taxpayers kindly, actually 2 years ago, the taxpayers helped bail out the pension funds for the Postal Service,
right,
which were underfunded and were a big drag. Right now, they're in the Postal Service is in the midst of a pretty significant reorganization that was actually planned during the Obama administration, and a guy named DeJoy, who's the Postmaster General, appointed by Trump, ended up having to implement the plan from Obama's administration, and because he's Trump's appointee, all the left's always trying to get him fired and all this stuff. But they're changing the way first class postal works and how it moves. They've eliminated putting it on planes as being too costly. So stuff's being trucked and trained around the country as a cost saving measure. They're limiting the number of sectional centers, the place where the mail gets collected and then distributed to your local post office. They're cutting out the number of those things.
And that's what's been affecting us here in Southern Oregon, in which a lot of the mail is getting trucked 300 miles to Portland,
right,
and then sorted. And we did a test, and to send a postcard a mile and a half down the street here took four and a half days here. And
they're in the midst of doing it. But the fact is, DeJoy is actually a logistics guy. He actually knows what he's doing.
Really?
In the private sector, that's what he did, and made a lot of money doing it. So, you know, when all this shuffling is done, the system should work better.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime you catch something in the middle of change, things go a little bit sideways. So they may be doing something related to that. There's a piece of legislation in the House that would make it so all ballots that are mailed have to be tracked, so they know that they did, in fact, arrive where they were supposed to arrive. And have a tracking on them coming back, so they would know to the where the ballots are collected.
Because we need to find out if our votes get shipped to Portland, and then the Democratic operative within the Postal Service opens up the envelope and stuffs the real ballot in.
Well, I mean, that's a real concern.
Yeah.
The more likely concern, though, is if you're, as in Oregon, where you're just mailing ballots out without actually cleaning your
registration
rolls,
mm-hmm.
A lot of ballots, think about who is actually moves around a lot. People live in apartments.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when something gets delivered in apartments? I can remember from like 35 years ago when I used to live in an apartment, there was a big stack of mail from people who hadn't lived there for a couple of years, right? And so if you're registering to vote at an apartment, you don't change your voter registration, which most people forget to do. They register somewhere else, but it never gets updated. You're mailing a whole bunch of ballots, live ballots, to basically apartment buildings.
Yeah, and that's been happening around here. We don't, I guess we're not going to be cleaning our voter rolls in Oregon for at least another 5 to 10 years. It's just insane.
You're never going to clean the voter rolls as long as the Democrats are in charge, because it works to their advantage. So then you sit there and so all you need is somebody who goes to the apartment complexes once a day or once a week and picks up the ballots that are laying there on the floor, because the person doesn't live there. Collect up those ballots and vote them.
Yeah, not that there could be any problems with that. Not that there could be any.
Anytime you have live ballots that are floating around, I would not. If you had live ballots, you had a clean voter rolls, okay, absolutely clean, pristine voter rolls, and you mailed ballots out to people, it's still a problem because ballots can be stolen out of mailboxes and stuff like that. But it's much less of a scale of corruption than if you have ballots stacking up at every apartment complex in the middle of Portland, and people just busily collecting them and voting them and dumping them in a ballot harvesting box.
Yeah. Well, I tell you though, nothing has really been fixed in the Oregon system, and I know we're hoping to get a different Secretary of State to actually focus more on integrity. And anyway, the primary, we had our primary this week, and overall the news was relatively good for conservatives here in Southwest Oregon, so that's at least some good news.
That's good.
But
that's good. That is good news.
Yeah, but what does astound me, though, is still the minimal turnout, 23-24% turnout. It's like, jeez. You know, the easier they make the voting, Rick, I swear, you just look at the turnout just going down, going down, going down. It's almost like people don't think they have any skin in the game anymore.
Well, that would be it. If you reject the system as being fair, the question becomes, why bother?
Mm-hmm.
In 1984, I traveled to Mexico, right? And I had this, and I used to still speak Spanish, which I can't do anymore. But I had a deal. I was going to speak Spanish the whole time I was in Mexico. And I did that for a week, and it was, had some hilarious results. But nonetheless, we had a guide in a place called Tosco, a little silver town. And this guy was going to speak English, okay? He didn't speak much English. I didn't speak much Spanish. It was a perfect combo. So we're having this muddled conversation. And he goes, what do you do? And I said, well, I work in politics, because I was running political campaigns at that time. And he goes, what's that? And I said, well, and I used the presidential campaign, which is the Reagan campaign at the time, as an example, even though I wasn't working on that campaign, just so we'd understand it. And he goes, why do you bother? It's all fixed. They should just give the money to the farmers. And that is what happens when you have people just in the general population who don't have any belief that the system is fair or honest.
Yeah, and that is the problem.
I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to spend all that money, why don't you just give it to the farmers?
Interesting. And human nature certainly hasn't changed, that's for sure. All right, Rick, well, we can't fix that all right now, but that's why turnout is the big thing. And boy, that's
absolutely.
It's like you almost have to overcome any perceived problems with
the good news
thinking.
Is if you only have 23-24% turning out,
yeah.
The good news is with very little effort, you can win elections.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you only all you have to do is jump the turnout by 10%, you win.
Yep, there you go. That's one way of looking at it, okay? Now, we just touched on something briefly last week, and I wanted to get a little more love on it. I know you got to get back to shipping your boxes.
That's okay. That's okay.
But
we're good.
This having to do with what Congress is wanting to do to the internet, and I think this is a big swampy thing that people need to understand. They want to censor disinformation and indecent content, right? You know, they do that from the internet. Robert Romano wrote about this over on Daily
yep.
Torch, your colleague there. And what is this really all about? It's about Section 230 again. Could you explain this so that we understand this a little bit better and why this is such a danger to our liberty in the United States?
Well, there's a bipartisan push. Anytime you hear it's a bipartisan push, you know there's something wrong. A bipartisan push to try to put content controls on the internet under the guise that where they want to make Facebook, Twitter, X, Truth Social viable for any content that is deemed in any way malicious, okay? And it could be – and they're using focus on kids as the excuse.
Isn't that what they always do?
They
always
they do.
Some of the biggest liberty stripping thing. You know, I remember the Democrats for the children, right? You can always have to say it insipidly. You know, for
right.
the children.
Yeah, you do. That's Bill Clinton. Yeah, while he's busy on Epstein Island, he's worried about the children. So that's a pretty common. So there's something. There's two different bills that people should know about. One is Section 2. Section 230 Sunset Act, which would effectively end Section 230. And I'm going to combine these two and explain what that means.
Okay.
And the other one's something called Kids Online Safety Act. Okay. So the Section 230, which a lot of people heard about because it was pointed as being the bad guy where it allowed Facebook and others to censor what you put up on the web, and it does.
Yeah.
But on the other high hand side of it, it also says that if you're not an active, if you just have a passive platform where people post stuff, you know, let's just say, you know, Rumble, where people just put stuff up. Well, Section 230 makes it so the thousands of trial lawyers that the left controls can't sue Rumble but because they have content on there that they don't agree with.
In other words, actual freedom.
Actual freedom, actual freedom of speech. And it, so you, so if you eliminated Section 230, you're effectively eliminating X, you're eliminating Truth Social, you're eliminating Rumble, and truthfully, you're eliminating any opportunity to have conservative content on Facebook, YouTube, and other platforms. So that is, so Section 230 is what protects those platforms from being sued, which allows them to have content that is on the web, that on their platform, that is diverse. Okay. The what we, the Kids Online Safety Act, then takes that, and what they want to do is they want to say, okay, we're now going to make it so the Federal Trade Commission is responsible for overseeing all content in the web to make sure we don't have mal, mis, and disinformation on the web.
All you had to do was just say Federal Trade Commission being in charge of it. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't think of a worse bloated, you know, overdone and overreaching organization, right?
And I used to keep talking to members and their staff and saying, every single week I see something about you guys complaining about the Federal Trade Commission and overreach, and you want to write into law that they have control of content on the web? Are you insane?
Yeah.
I mean, are you insane? And say, I don't care what you're calling the bill. I don't care what else you're doing. But here's what the Federal Trade Commission could easily do. They say, we can solve this problem by making it so there has to be, you have to put, you know, sign in anytime you're going onto a website or going into onto a platform. And there has to be a mechanism in that sign in where you prove that what your age is. Because we're trying to protect children from seeing content aimed at children. And this isn't, although it is about content like pornography, it is really about Joe the Camel. Okay, remember how Joe Camel,
Congress went nuts over that one and was trying to keep Joe Camel.
Anything that's marketed to children or deemed to have been marketed to children would then, you'd have to have prove your, the platform would have to prove that they are in fact not, that there's age restrictions. And it's not just an age restriction where it says you certify as you're 18 years old and you click a button.
And you click a button, yeah.
It's a real, you know, task in terms of an age restriction where you have to actually prove it. And so, and that's what they're trying to do. Now that Facebook and YouTube can afford to do that. Okay. They can put those kind of things in all day long.
Yeah, but small websites and people who are just starting up couldn't afford to do that kind of stuff.
Nobody else will be able to afford it.
That's
it
right.
It's the
Facebook and big high tech protection act, essentially, is what it is, right?
Yeah, because they, you know, if you're, and just a simple example of somebody I know who is an entrepreneur, they're trying to put up a niche website platform for comic artists who are, because their topics are
controversial,
everything controversial, they have a hard time being on Facebook and like, because they're always getting somebody complaining about it. And so this is it's a very niche thing, but you know, there's a demand for it. There's people who want to access those comics, and there's people who, you know, so it's just, there's people who do this comics, and a lot of it's just political content that is deemed inappropriate for the web, like saying things like making fun of Fauci about COVID. So a lot of these people got banned because of that. And so this guy's trying to put up a platform that people want to access and can access it. He's going to put in a fee to be able to access the platform, which is how he would make money. And it's very niche, right? There's no way he can afford to put in $100,000 of, you know, age-restrictive software.
Age-restricting and CAPTCHA and all the rest of this kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, you can just see that.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, yeah, so you're so just as somebody's trying to do something very simple, very who's invested significant dollars already into a platform, which is harder than it's more difficult to put together than you'd think. It's not just a WordPress. It's a and you know the guy's right now he looks at this he says I just wasted $100,000. And that's a, and, you know, so this kind of stuff goes through. There's tens of thousands, if not millions of small platforms. If you sell something on the web and you allow other people to use your site to sell stuff, eBay, but smaller.
Uh-huh.
If you have an offensive T-shirt to somebody, it doesn't pick either side. You have an offensive T-shirt that says, Jesus, the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through the Son. John 14:6. Somebody could find that offensive and say that's exclusionary. It's not inclusive, and hence we're suing. We're suing the platform for having that T-shirt.
And then the liberal trial lawyers then are sicked on to the system.
And then we end up with a 7-year case of whether or not a coach can pray with his kids on in the middle of a football
okay,
field.
Okay. So. Okay. All right. Now these two that you're talking about that Congress is stupidly, of course, and you're right. Anytime it's bipartisan, you know it's dangerous. Almost.
Yep.
It's almost every time, right? So. What do we do about it at this point here, Rick? What can be done, and where are we in the process? Huh?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing is we put out something urging people to come contact Congress last night. You probably got it in your inbox last night. So we're trying to get as many people to contact Congress and say this is stupid, A. And B, I am doing everything I can. There's a reason why I haven't spent half my life beating up on the Speaker of the House, and this is the reason. Okay, I'm doing everything I can to get the Speaker to understand just how bad this is and the dangers that it entails. And, you know, and it's essentially don't break the internet.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're going to do. And it's a, and so that's what I'm trying to do. And, because it's one of those things that everybody sounds, oh, yeah, we're going to do something. And we're in the silly season where everybody's saying, oh, we've got to do something. And anytime somebody tells you we have to do something, it means they're doing something stupid. Okay? Because doing something is different than doing the right thing.
So this whole thing about Congress wanting to censor disinformation and indecent content and or sunsetting Section 230, we've got to stop this and be in touch with Congress, with our Congress critics. Right?
And this is the easy way to the easy way for you just if you're calling Cliff Benz or anybody else, the easy way to explain it is during the first 2 years of the Biden administration, they tried to set up a disinformation, malinformation, misinformation board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And everybody said, no, we don't want that. That's censorship. And now you're going to make the Federal Trade Commission, the worst agency in America, with more power to destroy companies than any other agency that exists, we're going to give them that power and just say, Congress, we just have Congress say, well, FTC, you do it. You censor content. How is that? Who in their right mind thinks that makes sense? You can't support ending the disinformation board at the Homeland Security and support making the FTC into a disinformation board because the FTC is more powerful because they have the capacity to break up companies. They have the capacity to go after companies as a monopoly. So they will be able to go and say to a Facebook or anybody else, nice Instagram you have there. If you want to keep it, you better eliminate all conservative content.
Yeah. And
that is exactly what they could do.
That is the reality.
The power they have, and that's reality, and that's why we have to stop this.
All right. Now, is this only in the House that we do it, or do we go after the Senate, too?
House
and Senate. Okay, so they're both after it. Boy, all right. Both sections of government. I am going to share your post that you, in fact, I got it in your email I got an email from you this morning about that, so I wanted to make sure and talk about it. So I'll post that up, and I'll share it on my social media because, yeah, this is actually dangerous stuff that they're talking about under the guise of protecting us. So, Rick, I know I've kept you longer than I thought we should have. Your wife's probably really angry with you, and I don't want you to have an angry wife this weekend, okay?
Well, so, my wife is kindly sitting next to me on a bench like we're a little old man and lady sitting on a bench and in a old laughing skit. So,
well, thank you, Rick's wife. I don't know your wife's name. What's your wife's name?
Her name is Karen.
Hi, Karen. Thank you, Karen. So, tell her thank you very much. Okay.
Bill Meyer says thank you from Medford, Oregon, Karen. She's not talking.
She's not talking to you. Okay. We'll talk to you next.
Actually, she's been ill, and she's got her ears are closed, so she really can't hear anything.
All right. Well, you be well. Happy Memorial Day, or have a good Memorial Day, and we'll catch you next Friday, okay?
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. DC Swamp Update, Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com, DailyTorch.com. And, the job is going to be to really get a hold of Wyden and Merkley and Bence and anybody else that we can. And say, you know, get your hands off this idea of having the Federal Trade Commission controlling the internet. Not a good idea. It's a criminal idea, actually.
At Pressure Point Roofing, our dedicated team of repair and maintenance professionals work on hundreds of roofs a year. We can see where problems can start on your home or commercial property. We have the years of experience and commitment to quality that you need to protect your home or business. Having an annual inspection can prevent you from suffering through the damage, stress, and costs of an interior.